Welcome to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast, where we talk about the best of times, but also pay respect and learn from the crazier times. Our presence matters. Take a ride with us as we show the world how we make our presence felt. Fatherhood is Lit. What's good, Fatherhood, and welcome back to the Fatherhood is Lit podcast. Life is wicked, and one thing I worry about big time with my own kids is the bullying problem out there. This week, I wanted to bring on another dad who is tackling bullying and violence in the Bronx to talk all about it. He is the founder of Rumble in the Bronx. What's good, Mike Roman? How you doing, bro? You hear me?
Yep, I can hear you fine. I said thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate it.
Oh, my bad, man. It broke up. That's on my side right there. My bad. So, yo, thank you. Okay, thank you once again. Thank you once again for being here, man. And, you know, congrats on the baby, man. I know we were just talking about that, but congrats once again.
Yep.
So, yeah, Mike, so, you know, I was born and raised in the Bronx. You're from the Bronx, man. You know, I saw some wild things growing up, man. And, you know, hopefully my kids won't have to deal with that stuff. But, you know, the world is crazy. So let's start with that, bro. How was your upbringing? Was Pops around?
Well, yeah, Pops was around. My Pops was around. My mom was around. They're still together. God bless. But my dad was actually a cop. So growing up in the Bronx, it was a little bit tough for me because, you know, living in the Bronx my whole entire life, people know your whole entire family and they know, you know, everything.
Yeah.
You know, about you growing up. So there was no covering the fact that my dad was a cop and thinking that, you know, it would keep me safe. It actually brought me a lot of beef, you know what I'm saying, to step up to the plate and to hold myself down. And, you know, with the community that we in, and the snitching and all that stuff comes about, you know, I had to ignore that and just, you know, stay focused on just being a real person. And that's what I did. And I had to use my hands a lot, you know what I'm saying? Thing I never had to use any weapons. I was always against that. You know, my father always told me, even though he was a cop, you know, your hands is your is what's going to protect you. You know what I'm saying? Keep them up. Keep them by your face. And, you know, and I had a bunch of fights growing up.
Oh,
so, yeah, it was rough for me. I've been stabbed. I've been sliced on my face. You know what I'm saying? I played the street route, and it was real bad. But, you know, that was all part of the story that changed me into this very positive dude that I am today.
Yo, you know, a more of a personal question. Like, what made you go, you know, the street route as a youth when your pops was a police officer? Was it rebelling against that, or was it just the Bronx?
It definitely was rebellion. And the reason why I think it was rebellion is just the people that, you know, we surround ourselves with. It's like, I feel like just in New York City in general, is either you're a cop and you're on that team, or if you're not a cop, then you're on the other team.
Yeah.
You know? And the fact that I wasn't a cop made me very rebellious to my dad. And growing up as a young kid and just never realized, you know, the struggles that he went through to try to support my family and get my family up and out the hood. And I didn't respect all of that. And maybe because I was chilling with a lot of friends who were against it, you know what I'm saying? So it was nice that I didn't come home. It was nice that I just didn't care. I never came back. I think I ran away a bunch of times, you know what I'm saying? So
it was
hard for me. But growing up, you know what I'm saying, I got to see what it is to actually be a man and support a family and stuff like that. So, you know, I worship my father now. Now he's a God to me, you know, and I've just been repaying him and, you know, just showing him the you know, making him proud from when I used to be to who I am now.
Yo, that's crazy, man, because, you know, I came up from, you know, I'm from the Bronx as well, and my dad was, you know, a dude that never sold drugs, never did violence things, but he chilled in the hood. Like, he chilled in St. Mary's Park. He took care of, you know, the drug addicts. He took care of all the kids, stuff like that. And you're right. You're right. Like, when you're raised in the Bronx, it's two sides, bro. It's the cops and us. And it's one of those things that even for me, when I went to college, I was my second year in college. I was about to, you know, I had two more years left. I went to take the police exam. And when I came back to the hood, all my friends were like, well, what the fuck are you doing? like, what are you doing? You're going to college. You're about to finish and you want to be a cop. And it was one of those things that it stopped me. Like, I didn't think about it. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't think,
yo,
this could be a great career. All I thought about was my friends. And, you know, luckily for me, I continued with computers, but it's insane how, you know, your friends could dictate things and, you know, the neighborhood that you're from, man. It's kind of crazy.
My whole childhood, you know, like I was very rebellious to my parents. I was a badass kid. And that's why, you know, the things that in the street that happened to me happened. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we all, when we was all young, we all grow up and we all say, damn, we should have listened to our elders, our parents, our big bros. They all had the right answers. But, you know, we had to live it for ourselves to understand. And I guess at one point where I realized things were not going my way with my own choices, I started to realize that, okay, these other choices that my parents and my friends that's older than me and my elders, you know, they were guiding me the right way. And that's when I just became a teacher.
Yeah, that's insane, man. Because you just said something that was very important. You said, you know, in the beginning you used to rebel against it, but now your dad is like the god to you, right? And it's like that's something good for the community. Because sometimes I tell the parents, like, you know, we preach things to them, we try to teach them things, and we don't think they get it, but sooner or later it comes back. You know what I mean? So it's like we still have to do it regardless. You know,
we can't give up on our kids. That's what it is. And that's something that my pops stand out to me. He never gave up on us. And to be honest with you, like, we're Puerto Rican, so we're really some disrespectful little kids. You feel me? Like, we didn't give two shits. I'm talking about, I was like, F the police when I was running away when I was walking out the house. You know what I'm saying? And so he actually sat down to me and he was like, you know, I've never treated you like if I was a cop. And I'm around you, I'm your dad. Where my job is outside, but when I come home, I'm a dad, you know. And that was what really caught my attention, and it made a lot of sense. My pops has been retired since 2010 now, so you know he's retired, he's home now, and now it's like I really get to see who he really is. Because you know, growing up, it was a tease for me. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really get to see my dad. You know what I'm saying? He was always working. I'm talking about when I was waking up for school, to go to school in the morning, he was sleeping already because he came home at 5 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then by the time I came home from school, he was already walking out. So all he did was give me a kiss on my head and walked out. So I took it as like, this, you know, this guy ain't never there for us. You know what? Forget him. You feel me? Yeah. Not realizing that he was out there struggling to pay the bills and keep a roof over our head.
Man, yeah, that's insane, bro. Because you know I'm Puerto Rican as well, and that's the story is similar. You know what I mean? My dad wasn't a cop, but it's similar. Like, you know, I got to see him on the weekends. We got to chill. He was always part of my life, but you know the money came first. You know what I mean? The hustle came first. Yep. Like taking care of the fam. You know, mom was a housewife. You know what I mean? And back then, I didn't know what the fuck a housewife meant. You know what I mean? I didn't know what that meant. That's you know what I mean? Like that's insane, man. That's the BX, man.
To this day, I'm sure a lot of women and a lot of people don't, you know, realize the fact that a man has to go out there and work. You know, like that's just something that they have to do. They're the providers, and I feel like that ruins a lot of relationships in general. You know, just not only between him and the kids, but like him and the wife, you know what I'm saying? And whoever else it ruins, you know? It's just we're the providers, though. We have to make that chance. We have to make that choice, I mean, you know?
Yeah. No, it's crazy because, you know, you're hustling right now. And, you know, I'm going to jump around through questions here. But, you know, you're hustling now with Rumble in the Bronx, and you're doing it in other places. Like, now that you're looking back and saying, yo, you know, Pops was busy, how are you making sure that your presence is still felt while you're still trying to hustle and do something good for the world?
I feel like, you know, I was always big on kids, and I was always the big bro, even when I was the little bro to the younger, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Growing up, I have 5 brothers and sisters, so they all have kids now. I was the last one to have a kid, and I was the middle child. So I have a bunch of like 9, 10 nieces and nephews. The oldest is 18 now. So it's like I was always that kid that was in the house that they woke me up and was like, here, watch the baby, feed him. So, you know, that's what brought my attention to, you know, just being there. So now it's just something that I've always done. Like, you know, a dad is just something I always wanted to be. And now that I'm a father, you know, whatever it takes to you know, do what I got to do. That's all.
Yeah, no, it's tough, you know. Like I know a lot of people that, you know, start businesses, a lot of rappers, a lot of artists, and that's one thing that they all agree on, where it's like, yo, maybe we didn't have that much time with our parents, but if something's important, you know, for our kids, like that, for us to be there, then we'll be there. You know, if there's a recital, there's a hip hop show, a dance off, whatever, we're there no matter what. We drop everything.
100%.
And that's pretty dope, you know. And that's hard. That's hard because a lot of people, you know, they want that money, man. You know what I mean? They want that check.
Yeah.
And it's like, yo, you can make that up later.
For the money, because our kid needs us there more. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah. It definitely sometimes put us in a pickle, but, you know, we do what we can to juggle both.
Yeah, you know, I like to tell people all the time, man, we can make that money the next day, you know, but the times without kids, we not always, you know, we're not always guaranteed that, man. So we gotta, you know, we can't make that up, you know. So yeah, so going back to your upbringing, man. So your pops was a cop. Like how did that work with the bullying in school? Like, did people fuck with you? Like, did they tell you, that's a cop? Like, you gonna tell on me?
I'm gonna be honest with you. In the school, I was like a pretty boy. I didn't really have too many friends. I had like real long hair. So like, you know, the girls used to like love my hair growing up in like junior high school and high school. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really have too much problems in school. My problems was really was in the hood because everyone knew my dad was a cop, so they would test me and, you know, or call me things that it didn't really make sense to me because of who he was. And the fact that I was rebellious to my pops didn't even make sense to me that I was getting into this trouble because of him, you know? But I don't think it made me any different as a kid, though, because I feel like what I went through, every kid goes through, you know, growing up in a hood, especially being a new kid on the block, which is what I was. I used to live on 183rd and Fordham. Mm-hmm. I mean, on Fordham, 183rd and Creston, you know, Fordham side.
Yeah, the hood, man, the hood.
Hood.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is the hood. But then he moved us to, then my pops bought us a house in Castle Hill. So we left the hood. And when we left the hood, we went to another hood, and I was like 13, 14 in that hood. So at that age, it was different. That's when I had to like throw my hands up and stuff like that, you know, fight. But I feel like anybody at that age, any kid at that age would have been going through the same thing in that hood. Yeah, but, you know, it was clicks. A little worse for me because I had to really prove myself, you know?
Yeah. I think it's hard because it's like the cliques. Like, you didn't get to grow up with anybody in the neighborhood, and then everybody got their little crew. You know what I mean? They got their little two or three people.
Have, like, day one, you know what I'm saying? Everybody's like, well, I grew up with this kid since we was both 1 year old, 2 years old. Like, nah, those friends, I don't even know who they are anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so it was different for me. All my friends who I'm with now is like I just started to hit 10-year relationships now that I'm 32, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little different.
Yeah, you know, so now, but you know, with the bullying and all that, like I could already hear a lot of dads saying in their heads, you know, when bully presents themselves, tell someone. Right? Would you consider that snitching?
Not to me. Snitching is only if you talk to the cops, and to me, snitching is also something that is assigned to the streets.
Yeah,
and it's more like a street contact. I mean, a street contract. So just, you know, if you sell drugs or if you're a killer, you're selling guns, you know, you already, you know, you're in that street route, then that's the contract you signed. You know, you're not allowed to talk to the boys.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a civilian, you know, as a kid telling the, you know, your mom, oh, he hit you. Like, come on, we're kids. That's not snitching. Snitching shouldn't even be used in a kid's vocabulary, you know? Like, snitching is more of a word for the streets. So when you're a grown man and you took up these responsibilities that gives you these consequences, and now you got to face the consequences. You know what you signed up to, you know?
Yeah.
So that's my view on it, you know? So it's not snitching at all. Like, you know, if you're getting bullied, you know, you should step up and say something, you know what I'm saying? Definitely.
Oh, I love it. Because, you know, that's one thing, like, and, you know, growing up in the hood, like, especially, like, in middle school, you know, people would tell you, yo, that, you know, that kid is getting bullied. And you would look at the kid and be like, damn, like, either fight it off or tell somebody, and they would choose none. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes, or they would tell the principal, they'll tell the teachers, and then all the other, you know, kids are wicked, bro. They're evil, right?
Yeah, so
kids will come in and be like, yo, you snitching. And it's like, dogs, but that's probably what the parents would prefer. You know what I mean? Like go tell somebody, and then after that, now it's the wild card, right? Like I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, with you, you got a son, you know, 6 months. When he becomes older, how are you going to approach bullying? Like, are you going to tell him, yo, if somebody fucks with you, go tell a teacher?
I don't think my son will have to worry about that, because I feel like a lot of kids who are to themselves are just the fact that their dads didn't really teach them self-defense. Mm-hmm. Their dad didn't really give them that confidence and them to make them stand up to the bullies and stuff like that. So my son would never have that problem, you feel me? Like, from jump, we're play fighting. You know what I'm saying? A lot of dads is not home to play fight with their kids or to teach them how to throw their hands, whether they know how to fight or not. Put them in karate, put them in boxing. You know, you got to teach your kids as a child to protect themselves. And if you forget to do that, then, yeah, they're going to be soft-hearted, and they're going to probably want to, you know, talk to the principal or talk to the teacher or stuff like that. It's just because they don't have the dad figure, and they like to teach them how to protect themselves.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Yeah, so let's say now dad teaches his child, you know, how to throw hands and protect themselves. We're gonna get back to teaching them that stuff too, because you did something really dope this weekend that I like. But now let's say, you know, you teaching them these things. and they go to school and somebody still tests them. Like, would you tell them, tell a teacher, and then after a teacher, if that doesn't work, now you got to lay some hands?
I see it like this. If he's, I come from, my mom is funny. She came up with this saying that's like, sticking stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you.
Yeah.
You know, so like words is something that you should be able to walk away. And of course, walk away, but watching yourself walk away. You know, make sure they don't attack you from the back. But if it's just words, like eat that. Don't even worry about it. He didn't touch you. He didn't do nothing to you. Then you shouldn't worry about that. But now if someone puts their hands on you, then it's only right that you put your hands right back on them. You know, you guys fight. You guys should fight. You guys should, you know, because he already disrespected you and put his hands on you. And the biggest thing that I like about kids and when they fight, you know, I don't want them to fight, but the best part about it, if they have to, is the fact that they become friends after that. You know, like they just, for some reason, like once they have this fight, it's like, the next day they see each other in the park and the basketball might roll to their foot and they'll pick it up and pass it right back.
It's
and
over.
Like, yo, he'll pass it right back. I'm like, yo, shoot it. And next thing you know, they become friends. So in the Bronx, that's how it was back in the day. So, yeah. You know, that's why I brought up the Rumble in the Bronx, because I feel like even as grown men, that formula still works. You know what I'm saying? Like when I have call-outs in the ring and we put this guy versus this guy because this guy, you know what I'm saying, has, for whatever reason, he wants to fight him. When they fighting, and if I swing at you and you weave it, and then you swing at me and I weave it, for some reason, you see the respect already building right there in the ring. I throw my glove up, like, okay, I see you, and he'll tap my glove and be like, all right, now let's really fight now, you know? So it's like, it's a respect that you gain for someone after you guys actually fight, you know? So
yeah.
I think especially as kids, that's the formula that actually works. Nowadays, these 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, are picking up these guns and they ruining their life. They're shooting things up. The bullets hitting the wrong people. You know what I'm saying? They're risking their life. They end up in jail for the rest of their life. Like what happened to that kid Junior in the bodega when they jumped him. You know what I'm saying? And they cut him up. And apparently the bodega didn't do nothing. The kid died.
Come on, man.
Like that. Like somebody could have just stopped it. Been a one-on-one fight. You know what I'm saying? In the street. And although the other kids were there, they should have let him and his friends shoot the one-on-one fight, and then you would see that right after that there should have been a pound given, you know, and it should have been squashed right then and there. But it's just, you know, they went another way about it. Look at the consequences now. You got this kid who died, and you got five kids in jail almost doing their life.
Yeah, and then now they got to deal with the real harsh realities of jail, and it's like, now you got real bullies.
It could have just been a black eye and a busted lip, and you could just look in the mirror and be like, yo, dog got this busted lip and his black eye. You should have seen the other guy's face. Like, his face looks worse, you know? Like, and it's just like, but then that's where the formula kicks in, and it'll work. It does work. I've never seen it really not work, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I respect it, because that was the thing, you know, growing up in the South Bronx. Like, in the South Bronx, I was just like you. I was the pretty boy, you know, throw on a rugby or a polo, you know, to go to school looking fly.
Yeah,
but when the bully came, they knew, this dude might hit me back. And after a while, we became, like, the closest of friends, you know what I mean?
And even the bully, that's what I'm saying. Even though that's his motive when he wakes up, it's to bully people, he becomes friends with the person who sticks up to it. And that's when the bully respects you. He's like, you know what? Like, you official, bro. Like, you a real dude. And the next thing you know, you're no longer fighting with each other.
Yeah. And now we could work on getting them to chill. Like, yo, don't be picking on the next one either, man. They might beat you up too, bro. They might come after you. You know what I mean? You know, one thing I always tell my friends is, you know, like, this is one of those touchy subjects. Like, you know, you got friends that tell you, nah, you know, anybody pull up on you to fight you, you just get away, you run away. You know, sometimes we can't, right? Like, sometimes I understand that words can't hurt you, but sometimes you can't really, like, back away. You can't get away because of whatever circumstance is there.
100%.
And I tell a lot of my friends, yo, I'd rather deal with the principal calling me or the cop calling me, telling me, yo, my kid was in a fight, than the morgue calling me, telling me, yo, you know, the kid got beat up or he couldn't cope with it anymore and decided to jump off a train. You know what I mean? Like, these are things that are as horrible as they sound, it's reality. You know, like, bullying fucks shit up, bro. You know, people will kill themselves over it. And it's like, that's one of those things that us as parents, we got to teach, where it's like, all right, you got to learn how to cope. You know, you could tell somebody in authority, but after that, if the authority don't do nothing, it's on you. I do not want you succumbing to the bully. You know what I mean? Like, even if it's just one hit, get your hit off, bro. because things could happen that are much worse than that, man. Like, I don't know if you saw the news the other day. There was two guys, I think it was a father and son, and a Spanish dude came out and beat them up. Like, it was road rage, and he beat up the son and the dad. And all I kept telling my wife was, yo, what the fuck? Like, and she's like, nah, but, you know, the religion doesn't let you to fight, whatever, whatever. And it was like, yo, I get it, but what about their life? Like, one of those punches got killed one of them. You know what I mean? But nobody fought. And it's one of those things where it's like, man, I'd rather deal with the cops than the morgue, man, for real. You know, it's just one of those things, man. So now, you know, as fathers, especially from the hood, man, you know, asking the right questions is sometimes hard. How should parents ask their kids if they're being bullied?
I think,
Do you think that should be even hard, bro?
Although I'm a new parent, I definitely feel like I have the formula to raise my son the right way. Uh-huh. I think it just all goes down to being not only a parent, but being a friend. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you have to do stuff with your son the same, like, and treat him like almost like he was your boy too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that's just the best way to have your son open up to you, or anyone open up to you about, like, just not only about beef, but, like, you know, losing your virginity, liking someone, you know, things like that. They need that moral support, but they don't want to go to their parent who always scolds them. Yeah. They're going to end up going to someone who's always there for them. And I think, you know, that's the best way. Just be a friend as well as a parent.
Yeah, I know you dealt with a lot of people, man. So, you know, what about if your child is the bully?
If my child's the bully, then I'm gonna bully him when he get home, because that's not where I come from. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the thing for me. It's like, I'm not gonna be just my son's dad. I'm gonna be his friend. So if he's acting that way, I'm definitely gonna know he's acting that way, because he's gonna come to me and tell me. It's just how you raise your son. If you don't, to me, bullies are not raised by dads. Bullies are raised by angry kids who, you know what I'm saying, been through a lot, who don't have a dad at home. You know what I'm saying? It's very rare that a dad is in that kid's life and he ends up being negative unless his dad teaches him that, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, you know, bullying comes from something deeper. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think kids just wake up and say, I want to bully the next person. It's something that's in there, and they're coping with it by bullying. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, it's sad. It's sad to see, but you know, we gotta keep dealing with it. So now back to what we were talking about earlier, like teaching your kids. Is it ever too soon to teach them how to fight, like with slap boxing and shit like that?
I don't know. Now, if my son could throw his hands up right now, he'll be in the pad. You know what I'm saying? It's never an age to teach him how to. I mean, come on, like, you know, as a dad, you play fight with your kid. I play fight with him now.
All the time.
I won't hit him, like, you know, but I'll be like, psh, 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 you know what I'm saying? And he'll giggle and laugh, you know what I'm saying, as a kid. And that's where it starts, right then and there. As soon as he starts smiling and laughing and enjoying himself with you, you know, then as he gets older, you switch it into, you know, actually telling him what it really is.
What if you're not built like that, bro? Like, what if you're not a dad that's built for accepting violence? Let's say you're a dad from, you
like
know,
an older parent.
Not even an older parent, just somebody that's not about that. Like, you know, even a 20-year-old parent that says, yo, like, I'm take my clothes, bro. Take my chain. Like, you know, I don't really care.
I think that parent needs to man up and go into some training. You know what I'm saying? He needs to understand that, like, hey, yo, bro, you shouldn't be like this. You shouldn't. And if you are like this, don't make your son be like this. You can definitely put your son in boxing classes and training classes, and now feel more confident to even learn with your son if you're worried about learning from anyone else, you know?
No, that's a fact. Because I believe that us as dads, one of the beauties of being a father is that we get to teach our kids shit that we didn't learn or that we learned late, right? Or we get to put them on to things that we always wanted to be put on to. So it's like, yo, if I don't know how to fight, yo, I'm going to send my kid a karate. I'm going to send him to MMA. Right. And guess what? I'm going to pick up some of those pointers, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I used to want to be into boxing and stuff like that. And now, you know, my son, when he gets older, I'll put him into boxing. But I'll make him decide what he wants to do, of course, 100%. But I'm still going to, you know, teach. I'm going to offer it to him or, you know, show him, like, hey, this is something that you're going to need, whether you take it serious or not. Let's see if you're going to like it. Let's give it a try.
Yeah, just give them the basics and shit, at least. Like, how to at least block a shot, right? Like, how to put your arm up and block a punch that's coming towards your face.
Just like basketball, just like football, just like anything else, it's another sport. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, there's times you take your kid to the park. to play basketball. Take them to the park with some boxing gloves and some pads. And teach them, you know, how to throw a jab and how to do simple things like that, because you just never know. Living in New York, New Jersey, anywhere, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's trouble everywhere. You need to know how to protect yourself.
Yo, it's crazy you mentioned that, man, because, you know, before COVID, we used to run father-child boxing with Crunch Gym, and we used to invite the dads to learn how to box with their kids. And although we always used to have at least 10 or so dads, it was never fully packed. And I've always wondered, like, was it that the dads were afraid because they didn't know how to box? Or they thought they were just going to teach them themselves, you know what I mean? Now I see you doing it with China Mac, right? Like, didn't you just do, like, a boxing thing with them?
We started because what's been happening, especially in the Asian community, has been a lot of, like, Asian women getting, you know, shoved to the ground, punched in their face. And we not realizing, and me and Mac was watching the video, and I guess what really hurted me more than actually seeing them get hurt was the fact that there'll be a lot of people just standing around and no one doing anything about it.
Yeah.
So my idea was, you know, Mac's idea was like, let's go patrol the hood so that none of that ever happens again. But I'm like, yo, Mac, if we were to bump into something that's actually happening, you know, that could be bad for us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That could be really bad for us, because I'm not going to allow that, you know, and I could get in my feelings involved. And it can get ugly.
Yeah.
So I came up with this boxing idea, like, let's just give people their confidence and let's give people, you know, that bravery to step up when they see something instead of just sitting there in the fucking table and not doing anything about it. Sorry for cursing.
No. We curse all day, bro. This is explicit up in here, man. I'm from the Bronx, bro. You know, third grade, we already know all the curses.
Also a father, son, you know, so.
Yeah.
I want to be respectful, that's all.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good. You know, I think that's really dope, though, because my, you know, I'm Puerto Rican just like you, but my kids are half. They're half Chinese, half Puerto Rican. And one thing that I always taught my oldest son is, you know, he knows how to defend himself. He went to MMA. He's still not on our level mentally, meaning, like, you know, coming from where we came from, that we're always ready to defend ourselves. But one thing I noticed from him is that he defends his friends. And I've always commended that. You know, I joke with my friends, though. Like, one of my boys called me one day, and he was like, yo, your son, you know, was backing up my son in middle school. You know, tell him thank you. And I laughed at my friend, and I said, yo, dogs, if my son is defending your son, we're in trouble. We're in trouble, because my son isn't about that life. You know what I mean? He's a really good kid, but he will defend himself. So how do you feel? Like, you just mentioned that you won't let that happen to you. Is that something that you're going to be teaching your son? Like, if he's around people that are getting bullied, try to help?
100% to an extent. You know, I feel like, you know, he shouldn't step in the way of, like, you know, a huge club fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he should definitely step in the way if he sees an elder, you know, getting pushed down. Because bullying can go in any age. And to me, that's bullying. An elder can't protect themselves like they used to. So what the hell are you even doing hitting them? You know what I'm saying? Or pushing them to the ground. Like, that shit is just horrible. And I would have never thought that I would even live in a city that does things like that. But, you know, like I said, it happens everywhere. And that's why, you know, what we're trying to do, me and China Mac, we'll bring it everywhere. Just like what I've been doing. Rumble in the Bronx, I bring it everywhere. I don't just handle it for my community.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw you in Philly. I saw you link up with some of my people in Philly. That was pretty dope, too.
Yeah, I got Rumble in Philly. I got Rumble in Orlando. I got Rumble in Jersey coming up. We're trying to do it everywhere, bro, just so that we can just bring... What I'm trying to do is bring back the cool of like, yo, let them shoot the one-on-one and let's all go to the back... Let's go to the schoolyard and watch them shoot the one-on-one. Not let me leave school early, go get a gun, and wait for this motherfucker to walk home so I can shoot him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I was about to ask you, how do you promote that to the haters? And you just did that. You just did that. That's the best tagline right there.
And you know what's my biggest help is social media. Everybody loves social media right now. Everybody loves Instagram. Everybody wants followers and likes. So my trick is to convince them to say yeah. And once they say yeah, I post that on the media. And now this is where it helps everyone. Because now once they're on the media and promoting their beef with this individual, I trick them. I go, hey, you know, now that your problem is on basically TV, because no one watches TV anymore, you know, you can't go back to the gun. You can't go back to the knife.
Now they know.
Cops are watching us. You know, everybody's watching. So it's easier to catch the murderer now if I already publicized the beef.
Yeah, that's some slick shit, bro. I like that. I like that way of thinking.
You have to really think about it now. Like, are you a murderer or are you a serial killer? You know what I'm saying? Like, because in order for you to still do it, you would have to be a serial killer. You would just have to not care. You would literally have to just be a person who just, I'm here to kill people, and that's it, you know?
Yeah.
And those people don't ever come across my platform. Those people are crazy. They really to themselves.
Yeah, those are, they chilling on the block wilding out. they ain't coming nowhere else.
Yep.
So I got a couple more questions for you, man. I want to ask you as a parent, man, how would you approach another parent if you find out that their kid is bullying your child and the child won't stop?
I will come respectfully, you know. I mean, in the beginning, I will come respectfully. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the parent can understand, you know, because if the parent doesn't understand, then it's going to escalate. It's going to escalate into an argument between me and the parent. And listen, on this side, my son's dad is a fighter, so you don't really want to make that choice. You know what I'm saying?
You don't want to catch the 1-2.
You know, like, and hopefully me beating your ass will make your son, you know, wake up and be like, yo, I got to stop bullying because me bullying just got my dad beat up.
Yeah.
So that's what it is, you know? Like, if I can't teach your son the lesson, I'm going to teach his dad the lesson so he can go back home and teach his kid why bullying is bad.
Yeah, yeah. Yo, that's hilarious, bro, because that's something I, you know, once again, I joke around with my friends about that, and I tell them all the time, my son is going to high school, you know, white picket fence, you know, I'm originally from the Bronx, he doesn't have my maneuvering, right, and I tell all my friends, yo, he's going to a school, a public school, he gets robbed, I'm cool with that, but if you hurt him, I might have to hurt the person and the parents.
Yeah, definitely. I think all parents look like that. But I'm very big on, like, looking outside of the box. So I'll probably approach the kid myself, like, yo, what's up, bro? Like, you all right? Like, you know, like, this, you know, you guys should be friends. You guys should be boys. Like, hold each other down instead of fighting each other. You guys should be out here, you know, if they're in high school. You guys should be out here trying to talk to girls together. Yeah, look at you. You're a pretty boy. My son's a pretty boy. You guys are supposed to be holding each other down, man. It shouldn't be like this. Hopefully my words of charisma, could, you know what I'm saying, could change that kid's mind. But, like, you know what? This kid's dad is mad cool. Like, you know, like, he's right. Let me do that, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a fact, man. I love it. I think that's the approach we all got to take, man. You know, like I do that with my son now, where I, you know, I coach basketball. You know what I mean? I take the kids out, whatever I got to do to show them that, yo, dad is around, but dad is cool too. You know what I mean? So everybody can rock with each other. So now that you got a, you know, your child is 6 months, man. Like, what have you done now that reminds you that, yo, fatherhood is lit? Like, when you're with your child. Like, what's that special moment?
Smile makes my day, you know, like, from the very moment when he first came out the, you know, out of that, emergency room, but the room where my wife gave birth, you know, and I was got to be in the other room with him by ourselves, just us two, it was just, like, heartwarming, you know what I'm saying? Like, something that you would have never thought you would even go through. I'm 32, so I didn't know I was going to have this moment.
Yeah.
That moment just meant everything, you know?
Yeah, you got that skin to skin, man. That skin to skin hits different, bro. When you know that you made it past 16.
You know, now that he's 6 months, and now that he, like, reaches for us when he wants to be picked up and all that, just is like, it's like a whole new, another level of, like, you know, that same feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, wow, like, yo, bro, like, this guy, he's attached to me. Like, you know, yeah. Like, he knows I'm his dad. You know what I'm saying? Like.
Yo, he's gonna use that.
I was just telling my son's mother that, like, yo, like, I can't even, like, put him in my nephew's hand, which is like his babysitter kind of, because she's like, no, you don't want to be with him. You want to be with me, and that's it. That's it.
Yo, he's gonna have you wrapped, bro. He's gonna have you wrapped around his fingers.
That's a fact.
Yo, they all do, man. It's a blessing to be there, bro. And now as he gets older, what's gonna be that one thing that's gonna remind you that, yo, this life is dope? Like, is it gonna be teaching him how to use his hands, or, like, great adventures? Like, what is it going
to
be?
Teaching him how to use his hands, teaching him how to be a man, teaching him how to provide, teaching him that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, whatever you go through, you have to provide. You have to keep that roof over his head. And, you know, you got to – so I would teach him how to, like, you know, provide, and I would teach him how to make money and, you know, not to go to that street route. And especially me, I'm an entrepreneur, and the people that I'm around, like China Mac and others that are also entrepreneurs, which will be considered his uncles, you know, like, you would see all of us working towards something that's bigger than selling drugs or scamming in the street that could be put you away for so many years. You can make that big lump sum. I'm not going to tell you you can't, but when you get caught – and you break down the money to all the years you're doing in jail, you probably got paid less than McDonald's.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to play the right move, got to play the right, you know, there's no, if he's older now, you know, there's no girls in jail. You know what I'm saying? So you ain't going to get none.
Can't get fly now.
You ain't going to get no money in jail either. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And mostly you're going to live somewhere you don't want to live and can't go places that you want to go. So you got to make your decisions wisely.
Yeah. And the one thing that's different is, like, in the streets, you know, we always got to watch our back. But there's times when we don't have to, you know, and then, but as opposed to jail, where it's like, damn, you got to watch your back all the damn time, man. You know what I mean? It's not worth it. It's just not worth the time. So what's next for Rumble in the Bronx, bro? What's the next city? Like, I know you did Philly, you did Orlando.
The next one, we just came back from Orlando. The next one's in Philly. There's a lot of shooting in Philly. So, you know, it's important that I keep going to Philly. And I'm going to be honest with you, like, as far as, like, making money in these other cities, there's really no money to be made. I barely make anything, you know what I'm saying? But it's still important that I keep going over there and trying to make a difference and trying to make sure that my brand is here for that reason, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nah, legacy isn't always money, man. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's something that, like,
a lot of people think, because, you know, we do make a living off this, not just me, but it's not just about the money to us. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's more than that. It's about my nieces and nephews and my son and your nieces and nephews and your son, because I could teach my kids to never pick up a weapon, but how can I teach your kids to never pick up a weapon? How do I know if your kid's going to get into a problem with my kid and then your kid chooses to pick up a weapon? You know what I'm saying? So I got to make this brand bigger than just me teaching my son. I got to try to touch everybody's kids and everybody's and everybody in general, not just kids, you know, so that we all could think of the same way and we could all handle our situations different and not, you know, do the worst way, like picking up a gun. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, we definitely gonna go check out you guys with China Mac, and then, you know, next time y'all back in the Bronx or in Philly, I might take that drive and go check it out by myself. You know, kids at home, chilling at home, and I'll go solo. but for China Mac, I'm definitely bringing my kids, let them learn how to box, man, because I think that's a really dope thing. When's the next one with the boxing?
We're doing it every Sunday.
Every Sunday. Even Father's Day?
In Columbus Park in Chinatown.
Okay. Oh, okay. I know which park where they do all the Tai Chi and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Now we'll be there one of these Sundays. Not Father's Day, but, you know, another Sunday for sure, because we always out there. All right. Well that's dope, man. So how can the people follow you, man? What's the best way for them to reach you?
You can reach me on Instagram. Like I said, we did Rumble in the Bronx, Rumble in Philly, Rumble. Wherever we rumbled, you can see it on my main page, and you can follow all the pages. There's a bunch of different pages. There's always somebody that answers them for whatever reason. We're not just here just for the fight. Someone needs somebody to talk to. Somebody just want to ask for some opinions or what they should do while they're in the streets and they're beefing. Or, you know, because sometimes call-outs don't always happen. Yeah. You know, they could be like, yeah, I want to fight this kid and dead my beef. But the other kid is like, nah, fuck that. I'll catch this kid in the streets. Stop DMing me. So sometimes it's hard for me to reach out to these people and speak to them. But I find my ways, whether I got to go to their hood and find the OG in their hood and go to them through that way. I put in my work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can definitely follow us on all of our Fight Club pages. We're also on TikTok, Rumble in the Bronx. We're also on YouTube, Rumble in the Bronx.
Is that where you put up the streams, too? Is it on YouTube?
The live streams? We also have a website called rumbleinthebronx.live. That's really mainly for our platform to just stream our fights so that you guys can watch it at home. But yeah, you can catch us on all of those outlets.
Ooh, that was dope, man. Well, Mike, man, I don't even know what else to say, bro. Like, this was one of these conversations I've been dying to have with somebody, man. And you hooked us up, bro. Like, I'm glad I found another Bronx member, bro, representing out there.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that, man. And I've been following you too, man, and keep pushing that father son. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's amazing. You know, you definitely touching people as well. There's probably people out there that feel like, yo, like, I can't be a dad, I can't do this, and they'll come across your Instagram and see all of the father-son love that you post. It makes people want to do that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm a big believer right now in this generation. I'm not mad at the people recording each other for giving, you know, a bum in the street a dollar because even if they're doing it for clout, I don't care, because at the end of the day, it makes people copy that.
Then
it
makes
people
want
to do the same thing. So keep posting all type of content, just keep doing what you do, man. I appreciate you.
Nah, for sure, man. I appreciate you. I remember the first time I ran across you guys. Y'all were just starting out, and I think you have tagged like two boxing guys, trainers. I think one was from like Brooklyn or something like that. And I remember reaching out to you and him just to see how y'all did like the, well, how they did the boxing training, and asking them, yo, when you gonna do one for kids? And both of y'all hooked it up, man. Like, y'all both responded. So I truly appreciate that, man. Like, you know, a lot of people talk about it. You know, you guys actually do it, man. And that's real big, man. I truly appreciate it. So thank you so much for your time, man. You know, to the community, bullying and violence is something we dads have to educate our kids about. There's no blueprint to it, but it has to be done. Today we learned how Mike Roman of Rumble in the Bronx is approaching it. Now it's your turn. Make it happen, because our way matters, and so do we. Fatherhood is lit. Thank you, Mike, once again. Thank you.